Great music, familiar local voices, news, and information. It's all here. You found Real Country, 1430 AM Stereo, WRDN, Durand, Nelson, Maiden Rock, and 107.3 FM. Translator W297CH, Durand.
Coming up next, please stay tuned for It Is Written, presented by Pastor John Bradshaw.
This is It Is Written. I'm John Bradshaw. Thanks for joining me. When you open the Bible, you find some remarkable things said about Jesus. I'm going to turn to John chapter 10 and read to you what it says in verse 10. John 10, verse 10. Honestly, it's one of the most hopeful verses that you'll find in all of the Bible. These are the words of Jesus Christ. He said, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." How would you feel about having more abundant life? What would that look like for you? Longer life? Happier life? Healthier life? Well, there are certain things that you can do about all of those things. And today I'm talking to a couple of very special guests, Doctors David DeRose and Greg Steinke, co-authors of the book, 30 Days to Natural Blood Pressure Control. Blood pressure, high blood pressure is a killer. Doctors, thanks very much for joining me today.
Thank you for having us.
Dr. DeRose, how big a problem is high blood pressure?
It is a huge problem. 1 billion people throughout the world have high blood pressure. The numbers are staggering in our country as well. If you look at our lifetime, our lifespan, about an 80% likelihood that any individual in the U.S. will develop high blood pressure.
Looking through the book, I found a staggering number in here. 80,000 people succumb or die from natural disasters around the world. That's a lot.
That's a lot of people.
It's a tragedy. 9.4 million, more than 100 times more, die from high blood pressure. It is a massive problem, isn't it?
It's a huge problem, and we've got to do something about it as a world.
Dr. Steinke, you're a family practice physician. How many of the patients you see are dealing with high blood pressure issues?
Every day we see multiple patients. We become so used to the problem that we think about it as part of our everyday aspect.
I mean, you think about this, right? You meet someone with diabetes. Yep, sure. Heart issue. Sure. High blood pressure. This is normal for people, and we just accept it as part of everyday life. Need we accept high blood pressure as the norm?
People think that they feel fine with it, and so they act like nothing's wrong. And yet, it comes and kills them eventually through a process that's very sneaky.
Yeah, okay. So this is the silent killer. We've referred to that before, mm-hmm. The silent killer, which is high blood pressure. Now, we've spoken before about this, Dr. DeRose, you and I, about some of the ways that people can treat high blood pressure. Medication is a viable way to treat high blood pressure, except that...
Well, except for two things. One, although it may be the first course, it may be the thing you need to do out of the box, you cannot lower your blood pressure enough with medications to get the maximal benefit. Once you get to around 130 over 80, somewhere in that range, further lowering of blood pressure for many people actually increases the risk of complications. But you want to get that blood pressure as low as possible with natural therapies. So natural therapies have the most power to help us avoid the silent killer.
Dr. Steinke, what are some things that elevate blood pressure that some people might be surprised? Well, really, that elevates my blood pressure? Can you think of some of those things?
Well, one really surprising thing in the research is what actually happens in the womb. Amazingly, as a mother is going through her pregnancy, if she has a lot of stress, if she goes through mental stress, physical stress, emotional stress that's very strong, a loss of a loved one, a death in the family. If in the 28-week to 36-week continuum, that's where the kidneys are developing, that stress occurs, that can affect the development of the kidney. And the kidney has less nephrons that develop properly. Nephrons, these are the filtering units that push blood through to make urine. And if there's less nephrons, as you go through life, your blood pressure is eventually affected.
Now, does that mean then that a pregnant woman who has a loss in the family, a parent who dies, does this doom the unborn child to these complications?
we wouldn't say dooms, but we definitely have things that are out of our control that affect us. And to me, John, it's so fascinating when we read the Bible that God often had special concern for pregnant women, especially when God had a special plan. I think of people like John the Baptist. I think of Samson. Special instruction, because that time of pregnancy, the baby is being affected by what's happening to the mother.
This seems to be a science or a branch of science that we're starting to learn more about, what takes place in the womb, the prenatal influence. That's the real thing, isn't it?
Absolutely. We need to have special attention to pregnant moms. We need to give pregnant moms more room in jobs, et cetera, so that they're not overstressed. Whatever we can do as family members to support a pregnant mother will do wonderful things for that baby.
Yeah, that's important. Now, that's something that people might be surprised raises blood pressure. Oh, let me turn that around before I ask you about a specific chapter in the book. What's something, Dr. DeRose, that people might be surprised to learn lowers blood pressure?
Well, it's your day-to-day eating habits. A lot of people think some of this is just immaterial. Most people have heard about the salt connection, so they make that. But they don't realize that there are a lot of other things that we eat that raise blood pressure, and by contrast, other things lower it. Make it simple, eat more plant foods, whole plant foods, and you are going to have lower blood pressure. Study after study has shown that.
Now, the chapter here, I had it open a moment ago, Eating Your Way to Lower Blood Pressure, I think is the name of the chapter, or something very similar. It's very, very helpful. So eat better, lower blood pressure. But how bad is it for me that I grab that hot dog on the street corner or the burger at lunch several times during the week? What does that really do to my blood pressure?
You know, it was interesting. I had a patient. He was a marathon runner. He was in great shape. He was only in his 30s. But he'd come in and his blood pressure was always very, very high, 150s, 160s, over 70s or 80s. He was worried about his blood pressure. He couldn't get it down. He was trying to do everything right, but he was eating too much meat. He thought, oh, I'll just eat some red meat here and there, no big deal. It's just part of my lifestyle. But he was very sensitive. As little as red meat, as little as once a week was raising his blood pressure. Finally, he realized that this was the issue. He cut it out completely. His blood pressure went completely to normal.
Is it fair to say most everyone would realize the same benefit, or are some people predisposed to certain stimuli?
We don't want to say the same benefit because we're all unique, but definitely dietary change. A review, in fact, of some 80 studies showed that whether your blood pressure was normal or whether it was elevated, eating more plant foods, substituting animal products for plant foods, lowered the blood pressure.
Why are plant foods so powerful?
There's a number of reasons. My favorite one to talk about are natural compounds. We call them phytochemicals that are in plants. We now know that among those phytochemicals are ACE inhibitory peptides. Now, the average person might say, well, who cares? But these compounds in plants are the same type of compounds that are in prescription drugs. So it's as if the creator has said, look, John, I don't want you to have high blood pressure. Eat these foods that I gave to Adam and Eve in the garden, and it will keep your blood pressure more normal.
No, we go way back. And so, in fact, we three go way back. So I know you're not cranky. And you're not saying you got to become a some kind of diet radical, although not that we'd necessarily be against somebody really fully embracing the very best health principles. Tell me about the sort of incremental changes a person can start to make in their diet. You spoke about one, not eating red meat. What are some other things that people can just do? Say, try this and see what happens.
We really recommend a progressive approach. We realize that people can only do so much at one time. Fruits and vegetables, magnesium, potassium, calcium, these all have strong benefits for blood pressure. So how can I, as a person, get more fruits and vegetables into my diet? You know, can I bring them home more? Can I make smoothies? What can I do to get my blood pressure down with fruits and vegetables? Can I replace certain foods that I'm eating with more simple foods like fruits and vegetables?
I think it's true. You know, we talk about the standard American diet, SAD, SAD, the SAD diet. I mean, let's be honest. The average person's eating a pretty SAD diet.
You're right, John. And what's interesting about your whole question is we've got a graph in this book, probably one of the most powerful graphs, and I know it because Greg has heard me tell the story before, but someone who had heard me present on this topic came up to me once, some months after my lecture, said, Dr. DeRose, your lecture changed my whole life. And I guess, you know, it's possible I was tempted to become proud at that moment, but the Lord immediately removed any opportunity for me to be proud because he next said, but it was nothing you said.
Oh, thank God for that. All right. All right.
So I'm thinking, well, how did my lecture change his life if there's nothing I said? He said it was that graph that you showed. Oh. It's actually figure 5.3 in the book. And what it shows is just where your line of questioning is going. If you get some of those red meat, some of those animal products out of the diet, the research shows you'll lower your risk both of diabetes and high blood pressure. But the more you get rid of those animal products, the lower and the lower and the lower the risk gets. So fascinating data that's out there. Eat more of those plant foods, you'll get more magnesium, more potassium, more ACE inhibitory peptides, and your blood pressure will tend to be lower.
And you'll have life more abundantly, which is what Jesus came into this world to give us. There's more to cover. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. So what do you do if you or somebody you care about has high blood pressure? Well, you don't do nothing. There is something you can do. It's important that you do it. And it's easy and it's effective. I'd like to offer you a free DVD presented by Dr. David DeRose, Lower Hypertension Naturally. To receive it, simply call 800-253-3000, 800-253-3000, or visit us online at iiwoffer.com.
Planning for your financial future is a vital aspect of Christian stewardship. For this reason, It Is Written is pleased to offer free planned giving and estate services. For information on how we can help you, please call 800-992-2219. Call today or visit our website, hislegacy.com. Call 800-992-2219.
Thanks for joining me today on It Is Written. I'm John Bradshaw. My guests today are Drs. David DeRose from Compass Health Consulting and Greg Steinke, who's a family practice physician in Lincoln City, Oregon. Gentlemen, we're talking about a silent killer, high blood pressure, which is just a huge problem. We all know people who are dealing with hypertension and it's out of control. They don't know what to do. They're taking medication. The medication doesn't work. It does work. It has negative side effects. And the key is our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Jesus came so that we could have the more abundant life. High blood pressure. Now, here's a practical question. How do people even know what their blood pressure is without going to the doctor and making a copay? How can you advise someone how to check their blood pressure? Not everybody has a blood pressure cuff.
We actually recommend that you don't initially go to the doctor to check your blood pressure. When you go to the doctor, what happens? You're nervous. Your blood pressure tends to be a lot higher.
I've heard that. When you get your blood pressure taken at the physician's office, it gives you a higher reading because of the pressure surrounding the situation.
Yeah, the white coat syndrome, they call it.
Okay.
So check your blood pressure at home in a natural setting, in a setting you're used to. If you don't have a blood pressure cuff, go get one. Perhaps you have a friend or a family member who has a blood pressure cuff. You can go to various stores. There's supermarkets and pharmacies that have blood pressure machines available.
Are they accurate?
They're pretty accurate for the most part.
Accurate enough. All right.
You want to make sure the cuff is the right size. If the cuff is too large, the pressure will be off, or too small, the pressure will be off. But very important that you do it accurately. But checking your blood pressure at home is important, especially if you're making lifestyle changes and you're on medication. If you're beginning to make some of these changes we're talking about, your blood pressure will start to go down in many cases over a period of a few weeks, perhaps a month. And if you're not checking your blood pressure, you could start to get side effects from the medications becoming too powerful and making you dizzy, lightheaded, etc.
Okay, now, you really said something that's key to this. In order to get your blood pressure under control, you need to make changes, right? You've got to do some things differently to what you're doing now. We become creatures of habit. And without thinking it through, because we think we're bulletproof and we're going to live forever, we think that this burger, my third one today probably will hurt that guy, but not me. Somebody considering, thinking right now, yeah, I got to do something. How do you move that person to action? How do we encourage that person to actually act on what they're hearing now, rather than just say, oh, yeah, I'll get around to that one day. Dr. DeRose.
There's nothing more powerful, John, that I can recommend than actually praying about your health concerns. The Holy Spirit is there to convict, to guide, to comfort. So the Holy Spirit is able to point out what you need to change today. And I often tell my audiences that I can't tell you what to change. I can't tell you how big to make those dietary changes. But I say, go in the quiet of your room and ask God what he's calling you to do. If God's calling you to do it, he's not going to ask you to do anything that he's not fully committed to change in your life. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. It gives you the vision to change and then the power to make those changes.
All right, so you take this to God, lay it at his feet, and then expect God to work this out in your life.
Well, you know, I'll be honest with you. God sometimes works miraculously, but other times he says, this is the way, walk ye in it.
Oh, pardon me. I don't mean to suggest inactivity, but you're going to do this. The best way to do this is in cooperation with
definitely,
God.
Definitely, definitely.
Now, somebody who is on medication and they're making changes and they want to cut back their meds, what's the responsible way of going about that?
The responsible way is tell your physician. Whoever's prescribing those medications should be involved in that process. And I'm typically, when I'm seeing those numbers getting down 120 or below in most people, we're starting to back off those medications.
We'll be back with more that can change your life in this world and in the world to come in just a moment.
What does the Bible say about astrology?
Why do bad things happen to good people?
What color is Jesus?
If you have a question, we'd love to find an answer for you from the Bible. Line Upon Line from It Is Written TV.
When people think of India, they often think of the Taj Mahal or Indian food. But what you probably won't think about is the staggering number of blind people that live in India. Sadly, more than 15 million blind call India home. And it doesn't have to be that way, because many of India's blind could see again if only they could afford cataract surgery. Today, we are asking you to donate to this life-changing work. It takes just $75 to give one person the precious gift of sight. To donate, please visit our special website, itiswritten.com/eyesforindia, or call us. Our number is 1-844-974-8836. That's 1-844-974-8836. For only $75, you can open the eyes of the blind. Call today, 1-844-974-8836.
Thanks for joining me today on It Is Written, where we're discussing your health in this world and in the world to come. Look after yourself here, and you seriously increase your chances of having a closer, more meaningful relationship with God, and therefore that impacts you eternally. Dr. David DeRose, when it comes to high blood pressure, which we've learned today kills over 9 million people in the world every year. That kills them, not just
right.
Cripples them. That's more than 100 times the amount of people that die in natural disasters. I'm really interested that toxins, you talk about this in your book, mm-hmm. Toxins can elevate blood pressure. What toxins and how?
One group of toxins that we talk about that is especially devastating are the heavy metals. So whether it's lead, whether it's mercury, whether it's cadmium, many of these heavy metals raise blood pressure. And the scary thing is many people are being exposed to these in their typical dietary choices. So we're being bombarded with toxins, contributing to higher blood pressure, and this is adding to the burden of suffering worldwide.
Now, we know to get lead out of our paint, but how do we get lead, mercury out of our diet?
The problem is most animal products concentrate these toxins. And unfortunately, one food that has some good constituents, that's fish, some of those fish have those omega-3 fats that lower blood pressure and decrease inflammation. Unfortunately, those same fish often concentrate toxins. So the solution in the book and in our lectures, we say, don't go to the fish for the omega-3 fats. Go to the place where the fish got it, and that is from plant sources of nutrition.
Now, another thing that I find fascinating is that there are some supplements that you can take that help lower blood pressure. And we're not in the supplement business here, but you are in the business of giving good advice. So what are some things that people can take that would help with high blood pressure?
The list that we looked at was magnesium, coenzyme Q10, omega-3, which we mentioned. And one of my favorites is hibiscus tea. Hibiscus is one of the most popular components of herbal teas. And hibiscus tea has a number of studies, randomized trials, which are careful controlled studies showing that hibiscus lowers blood pressure as strongly as medication.
As strongly as medication?
That's correct.
Well, that's fascinating.
So 3 cups a day of hibiscus tea will lower your blood pressure as strongly as medication. But one caution with that, make sure you rinse out your mouth after you're finished drinking the hibiscus tea. You know why?
No, why?
Because it can be hard on the enamel.
Okay, well, that's good advice. Now, you're both Christians. Dr. DeRosa, you're a minister of the gospel. As you look into the Bible, you find sort of a prescription in the Word of God. You've referred to this in the Beatitudes. Walk us through some of these principles in the Beatitudes, which talk about a relationship with God and some of the lifestyle impacts that has that deals with high blood pressure.
It's a fascinating chapter because as Greg and I and Trudy, our other co-author, were praying about how do we present to people across the spiritual spectrum what are spiritual principles that can impact our blood pressure, we were drawn to the Beatitudes. And I'll give you an example. As Jesus began that statement of blessings, the introduction to his Sermon on the Mount, he said, "Blessed are those who mourn." That was very early, the second Beatitude.
Yeah.
Blessed, the first one, blessed are the poor in spirit, the first one. I mean, you say, poor in spirit, mourning, this doesn't, how would this help blood pressure?
And those were very countercultural principles in the context in which Jesus shared them.
Most definitely. But as we look at those, and we look at the next Beatitude about blessed are the meek, these, again, countercultural, but all of them, they're basically helping us recognize our dependence, recognize our need for God, humbling ourselves. And we find that this is so important in one of the elements that we spend a whole chapter dealing with, and that is social support. Because what we know about blood pressure is just like we found with diabetes and heart disease and other conditions, if you connect with other people and you make changes with other people, you in your church have a group of people saying, we're going to lower our blood pressure together, that magnifies the impact. But the only way that happens, John, optimally, is if I'm humble enough to learn from other people, if I'm coming down to someone else's level, if I'm meek, if I'm submissive, if I'm repenting of my own sins, if I'm mourning for my own shortcomings, that's when this social support is maximized.
So in Matthew chapter 5, Dr. Steinke, let me run a couple of these blessings past you. Blessed are the merciful, verse 7, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed, maybe this is an easy one, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Talk about heart health or high blood pressure health in relation to that.
One of the most important aspects, I believe, is forgiveness. Blessed are the merciful. People are willing to extend an attitude of forgiveness to those who hurt them. There's a study done by Dr. Dick Tibbetts in Florida Hospital. Amazing research, an 8-week study where he took people who many of them had anger issues, blood pressure issues, and he walked them through a forgiveness training program. And by the end, their blood pressures were down. They had a notable improvement in their blood pressure. Forgiveness, letting yourself put forgiveness on another person and also with God, asking God to forgive you for your shortcomings. And letting that peace come into your heart that lowers the cortisol and the stress hormones in your body, improving your blood pressure.
it's not always easy to accept. The Bible says all things work together for good. Ultimately, we've got to trust God in the midst of all things, don't we?
That's right.
Trust Him. We don't always understand it. Why did my loved one die? Why am I wrestling with this illness? If you see the big picture, it's still possible to trust God.
That's right.
Okay, as we wrap up, just a couple of quick points. Something we haven't discussed about high blood pressure, its connection to faith in God, its connection to good health, spiritual health. What would you add as final words?
You know, one thing I would say is make sure that you know your blood pressure and that you do something about it if it's elevated. Just a simple motivational message.
Dr. Steinke?
Absolutely. You know, think about why you want to be healthy. Why ultimately do you want to be healthy? Whether it has religious and spiritual aspects to it, maybe it has everything to do with your grandchildren or your children or the friends that you have. Think about the deeper aspect and use that as a motivator to change lifestyle behaviors.
Dr. Greg Steinke, Dr. David DeRose, thanks so much for joining me today.
Our privilege.
So what do you do if you or somebody you care about has high blood pressure? Well, you don't do nothing. There is something you can do. It's important that you do it, and it's easy, and it's effective. I'd like to offer you a free DVD presented by Dr. David DeRose, Lower Hypertension Naturally. To receive it, simply call 800-253-3000, 800-253-3000, or visit us online at iiwoffer.com. Thank you for remembering that It Is Written exists because of the kindness of people just like you. To support this international life-changing ministry, please call us now at 800-253-3000. You can send your tax-deductible gift to the address on your screen, or you can visit us online at itiswritten.com. Thank you for your prayers and for your financial support. Our number again is 800-253-3000, or you can visit us online at itiswritten.com. Gentlemen, thanks for joining me today. Let's pray together. Can we do that?
Absolutely.
Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are truly thankful that you have an eternity stretching before us that you want us to inhabit and experience with you. We thank you that in Jesus you have done everything necessary to secure our salvation. We thank you that in this world where so much is going wrong, we can experience so much going right through faith in Christ, the one who died for us, who ascended to heaven for us, who intercedes for us at your right hand. Father, let your Spirit draw us to you to find peace and wholeness and health physically and spiritually in you. Bless us and keep us as we trust you fully. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for joining me today. I'm looking forward to seeing you again next time. Until then, remember, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.
You've been listening to It Is Written, presented by Pastor John Bradshaw. We hope you have been blessed and that your faith in God has been renewed. Join us again next week at the same time on this station for It Is Written with John Bradshaw. This program was produced by It Is Written, all rights reserved. It Is Written is a faith-based ministry. Thank you for your letters and continued support. For more information, please visit our website, itiswritten.com.
Hello, It Is Written supporters and listeners. Pastor Ivan Remokal here of the Durand Seventh-day Adventist Church. Thank you for supporting our sponsored program, It Is Written by John Bradshaw, here at WRDN every Sunday, 10 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. If you have any questions or wanting to have Bible studies, you can contact me with my number 715-279-4213. Again, 715-279-4213. Also, you can come to our church at W6733 Church School Lane, Durand. Again, our address is W6733 Church School Lane, Durand. May God bless you all.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Clouds will increase for your Sunday with afternoon highs in the middle 70s. For tonight, we'll see showers and thunderstorms likely. Our low temperatures will drop to the upper 50s. Some of the rain will be locally heavy. Showers and storms continue Monday. Do you need help with back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. Currently 59 degrees.
It's Sunday morning on Real Country 1430 WRDN. We take you now to 1032 Prisel Street in Durand, Wisconsin for the Faith Lutheran Church morning services.
Good morning. Welcome to worship on this Pentecost Sunday, as well as our bike blessing. Thanks to those who were able to meet me at Caddy and ride bikes to worship this morning. We'll be doing a special blessing for that in the start of summer a little later in the service. Our radio sponsor today is Jean Herman, sponsoring in memory of her husband, Jerry. And so we give thanks, Jean, for your sponsorship, and remember Jerry with you today. A reminder that next week we will have one joint worship service. It will be held here at 10:30 at Faith, so you don't have to remember too much except to welcome faces from Rock Creek when they hopefully join you for worship. That will be a lay-led worship service, as I'll be taking some time off beginning on Friday. St. Vincent de Paul Thrift Store here in Durand is looking for some employees and volunteers, so if you have a helping hand to lend at all, you can reach out to Natalie there, and she will get you scheduled. It's getting very close now to Fun Fest and our Chicken Tent fundraiser, so if you are still able to give any money towards the cost of the food, the envelopes are hanging on the back window, and we'll just have those up for another week or so, and then Fun Fest will be here. So if you can help to defer the cost, that would be helpful. You can put the amount into the envelope and then just drop it into the offering plate. There's also a sign up in the back for do you have it there, Linda?
I do.
Okay. Okay, thank you. So we'll be sending that around. That's a sign up for Sunday Supper, which will happen next Sunday. And then for Fun Fest, if you're actually able to help during the actual serving of the chicken dinner, you can sign up for time to do that, and you'll receive a free meal as part of that too. And it is a lot of fun. Get to see a lot of faces and talk to a lot of people while you're there. Registration is open for our fourth annual Community Unity VBS, and so this is held at Holy Rosary in Lima, and we've got, I think, seven congregations participating now in that. So last summer we had 120 kids, this summer it'll probably be more. So that's free of charge for people to attend, and if you can register by July 1st, you'll also receive a free t-shirt. So the link for that is in your newsletter, it's on the Facebook page, and it was emailed. So that's how you need to register, is to just go online. And then two opportunities to attend Luther Park Bible Camp this summer with me. I'll be there the week of June 23rd through the 28th with our 3rd through 8th graders. And then if you want to experience just a day at camp, I'll be taking kids in kindergarten through 3rd grade on July 16th. I forgot to change the slide, Gloraline, but I remembered. It's July 16th, not the 19th. It's a Tuesday. So Gloraline's, a couple of her kids are registered. So if you want to join us, that would be great to come and experience camp for a day. Are there any other announcements? Then I would like to invite the kids forward, kids of all ages. It's Pentecost today, so we're going to gather around the baptismal font and talk about that, and then I'm going to have you help me lead the opening hymn with a little Pentecost procession. So we'll just gather right around here. Come on up. Come on over. Let's move over so everyone can get around. You guys can come over here a little bit. Good morning. Are you still sweating from that bike ride? Whew, it was warm. My legs are telling me, you have not rode your bike for a while. Welcome back. Well, it's good to be together. I have a couple questions for you. When you see someone around Christmas time, what do you say to them?
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. When you see someone around Easter time, what might you say to them?
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. What do we as the people of God say on this Pentecost day? What do you think? Happy Pentecost is a good guess. Thank you, God, is a good guess. Is that what you said? Happy Pentecost. You know what we say? It's going to sound a little crazy. We say, happy birthday. Because Pentecost is when we remember that Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to his disciples. It's not someone that they could see or touch or hug or talk to. The Holy Spirit is something that lives in the hearts of people that love God and are loved by God. So we can't really see the Holy Spirit. But when the Holy Spirit came to the first disciples, the first people that believed in Jesus, then they were able to be the church, to start doing the things that Jesus used to do, ministering to people, feeding people, loving people, caring for people that were sick. And so we say happy birthday because Pentecost is like the birth of the church and what we get to do as the people of God. And so usually there's water in our baptismal font, right, when we baptize people? Today we have ribbons. These represent the fire of the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit first came to people with like little flames right up on their head. It didn't burn them. It just floated above their head. And so this red kind of symbolizes, reminds us of the fire of the Holy Spirit. So what we're going to do today is during our hymns, everyone's going to have one of these. And I'm going to have you help me pass them out to the adults too, because they can also wave some ribbons. And while we sing our spirit songs today, all of our songs are about the Holy Spirit, we will wave our ribbons together. And during the first song, I'm going to invite you to walk around with me and wave your ribbons, okay? So we'll let Diane start playing because it's kind of a long hymn. And I need your help handing these out. So keep one for yourself and then give one to everybody out there. And then come up here and follow me around, okay? And we'll begin singing Spirit of Gentleness. Some here too if you need them. Make sure everybody gets one. And don't be shy there, adults, with waving these.
Wind on the sea. when you blew through your people on the rush of the wind. Spirit, Spirit of gentleness, blow through the wilderness, calling and free. Spirit, Spirit of restlessness, stir me from placidness, wind, wind on the sea. You call from tomorrow, you break ancient schemes, from the bondage of sorrow, all the captives dream dreams. Our women see visions, our men clear their eyes with bold new decisions. Our people arise. Spirit, Spirit of gentleness, blow through the wilderness, calling and free. Spirit, Spirit of restlessness, stir me from placidness, wind, wind on the sea.
The grace of our risen Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. God of promises, you meet us in the sacramental life, at the font and at the table. We are your chosen holy people, empowered and guided by the promised Holy Spirit. We gather and give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to move on to the children's message, so I'm going to invite you all to come sit down. You can keep your ribbons during the worship service and use them for the songs, but we're just going to gather right around here. So just have a seat. Wherever you can find a little place, come on up. Don't be shy. And if you rode a bike here this morning or rollerbladed, you're going to want to come up because we got a gift for you. And even if you didn't, please come forward because you can take it home and add it to your bike or your favorite wheeled mobile that you have. So how is everyone feeling about it being the last week of school coming up?
Boo.
You're boo?
I want to go to miss school.
You don't, you're going to miss school? Did you say?
To go.
Oh, you don't want to go to middle school. Oh, gosh, now I hear you. Yeah, that's a big change, isn't it? You've been like the oldest kids at Caddy, and they're going to be the youngest at the middle school. It'll be exciting, though. It just gets better and better. What about the rest of you? You're moving on to high school. How are you feeling about that?
I'm moving on
excited?
To second grade.
You're moving on to second grade? There's all kinds of things. But first, summer. What are you excited about for summer? You're going to Branson? You'd like to swim?
And go
going on vacation?
I really want
great.
Durand Pool to get built, so I can swim it.
You really want Durand Pool to get built so you can swim in it. I know. Yeah. You should be their spokesperson for their final push for fundraising. Yeah, Aaron. Excited to sleep in. There's so many good things about summer. And we want to send you with our blessing because I know that schedules change in the summer. People get busy with different things. You visit grandparents, you go on vacations, you might go camping. And I don't always get to see you every Sunday or as often as I do during the Sunday school year. But I know that God goes with you. So in a minute, not yet, but in a minute, everyone's going to get to take one of these bags. And I won't show you everything that's in here because some of them are a surprise. But I want to tell you about a couple things. First of all, I want to introduce you to Flat Jesus, okay? This is Flat Jesus, and you received one of these last year, but this year we added a little clip to it because Jesus is the Son of God, okay? So this is for your sun visor in your car. You know the little visor you pull down to block the sun? What I'm going to invite you to do is take this and clip him right to your visor so that you know that when you travel in your car, if you're going to the swimming pool or on vacation or wherever you're going, that God, Jesus, goes with you. And then if you think about it, if you're doing something super fun, that means that you're not here in the church, take Flat Jesus and take a photo with him and send it to me so that I can see what you're up to this summer if I don't get to see you as much, okay? So, Flat Jesus loves to be in photos. And it's a reminder that God is with you all summer long wherever your adventures take you. You can color Flat Jesus, yeah. The other thing, I've got some in my pocket. What I put in this bikes are these little spoke beads. So you put them on your tire spokes, the little metal part of your tire, right? And then when you ride and your wheel spins, they're gonna click, 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 and make really cool noises. You like that? And so I hope that it will remind you, God tells us to make a joyful summer, to make a joyful noise to the Lord. So let this remind you that as you ride around, as you go on, that you are held in prayer. And then I'll let you discover when you take your bag back to your seat what else is in there for you to enjoy. But what I want to do right now is pray for the start of your summer and all the adventures you're going to have. So let us pray. God, we give you thanks for the changing seasons and the ways in which summer has a different rhythm of life for us. Even if we're busy with new things, we get to have some enjoy the sunshine and swim in the pool and ride our bikes. And so, Lord, as each of these kids and this people in this congregation go about their summer plans, I pray that you would grant them peace and safety and health. And remind them that you go with them, that you're always there wherever they are, wherever they go, that your spirit leads them. And so I ask that you would bless this summer and all that unfolds in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I'm going to invite you to take one bag for yourself and one to share with a friend or maybe a cousin or someone. So you can take two and make sure you give one to a friend. And then, congregation, if you have any children, grandchildren, neighbor kids that you think would like one, please feel free to take one at the end of the service. We have plenty remaining. Oh, good. You give one to Emma. That'll be good. And we'll continue with our centering song.
I speak the name of Jesus over you. In your hurting, in your sorrow, I will ask my God to move. I speak the name 'cause it's all that I can do. In desperation, I'll seek heaven and pray this for you. I pray for your healing, the circumstances would change. I pray that the fear inside would flee in Jesus' name. I pray that a breakthrough would happen today. I pray miracles over your life in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I speak the name of all authority, declaring blessings, every promise He is faithful to keep. I speak the name no grave could ever hold. He is greater, He is stronger, He's the God of possible. I pray for your healing, the circumstances circumstances would change. I pray that the fear inside would flee in Jesus' name. I pray that a breakthrough would happen today. I pray miracles over your life in Jesus' name.
I invite you to stand as you're able as we welcome the word.
Alleluia, alleluia, give thanks to the risen Lord. Alleluia. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. You have all probably heard the saying, what goes up must come down, right? Or maybe for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. I thought about these sayings, which I became more familiar with when I worked at a science center and was working with Newton's laws of physics, but normally these phrases are applied to physics. On this Pentecost Sunday, though, we can apply them to our theology, to our understanding of God. Because long before Isaac Newton developed his laws of motion, Jesus told his disciples, I tell you the truth. Unless I go up, the Holy Spirit can't come down. Jesus said, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Jesus' ascension into heaven, which we recalled last week, was necessary so that the Holy Spirit might be able to descend upon the earth and into the hearts of God's people. Jesus went up so that the Holy Spirit could come down to animate the faith of all believers. When Jesus was alive in human flesh, living among his disciples, he was actually limited by his human form. And we don't think often as Jesus being limited, right? But because he was stuck in a human body, he could only be in one place at one time. And though surely God was still at work in all parts of the world, those whose interest was piqued by Jesus' presence, by his ministry, who sensed his power, could only be affected by him if they were within arm's reach, if they were in proximity to his physical presence. And so Jesus knew this limitation was not sustainable for the flourishing of humanity, so that's why he called it advantageous that he should go to be with God and the Holy Spirit could come into the presence of God's people, able to be unleashed upon the whole world simultaneously. And so the Holy Spirit is perhaps the most aloof and mysterious part of the Trinity. When we think about God, the Creator, we can understand God because we can look around at the world, the created world, and see the fingerprints of God everywhere, especially in springtime, right? When birds are hatching and flowers are blooming and waters are flowing, we see the evidence of God's handiwork. And we can understand Jesus because he was once a human being, made up of flesh and blood and bones, God incarnate, living and breathing among other humans. People were able to touch him and talk to him, hear his laughter, hear his voice. The Holy Spirit, though, is not something that can really be seen or touched exactly. The evidence of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives is a sense, it's a feeling that we have internally. The Holy Spirit is an invisible promise made visible when people who sense the Spirit's leading follow in faith, believing that God is leading them. And then, as Jesus told his disciples, they testify about it, right? We tell the stories of the Spirit moving in our lives. Pentecost reminds us that in the absence of Jesus' physical presence, we become Christ's hands and feet and voice in the world. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we're empowered and encouraged to testify, to share about God's presence and work in our lives, and then to give credit where credit is due. When people thank me for a word that I preached that really spoke to them or an action that I took that ministered to them, I am pretty quick to credit the Holy Spirit. Because it's a humbling thing to be an ordained person, knowing that it's really not me who's doing the work of the ministry that unfolds, but it is the work of the Spirit in me. And sometimes people thank me for hearing something that I didn't actually say. And that's the Spirit, right? It's what they needed to hear. And so that's my way of testifying about what God is doing through me by the power of the Holy Spirit. This stole that I'm wearing is the stole that I received on my ordination day. And it says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Comes from the book of Galatians, reminding me every time that I put it on that it is not me who does the work, but the Spirit working through me. The Holy Spirit came down at Pentecost, not just to fill the void that Jesus' ascension had left, but rather to open the floodgates of spiritual potential in the lives of all those who were open to the Spirit's leading. When we profess together the words of the Apostles' Creed, at the end, near the end, we say, I believe in the Holy Spirit. And the reformer of our Lutheran faith, Martin Luther, reflected on this in his explanation of his parts of the Apostles' Creed, reminding us of our limitations separate from the work of the Spirit. And this is what he writes, I believe.